Yo, what's going on? It's Gino. Episode number 2 of the other 59 minutes. I'm kind of digging this podcasting thing, man. I can't believe how late to the game I am on podcasting. And I have to thank a few people for getting me to finally do this. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a very lazy person. So to get me to do something, you kind of have to kick me in the ass and, takes a while. And the funny thing is, I'm kind of like the tech nerd at QYK. Like, everybody knows that I'm kind of the computer guy. I'm the social media guy or whatever. But podcasting, for some reason, all of us radio guys, we all have this, like, holier-than-thou thing on podcasting. You know, it's like, radio people tend to think that podcasting is for, you know, nerds who want to be on the radio but just don't have what it takes to be on the radio. And it really took me listening to a few podcasts that I really like and I listen to regularly now to kind of get what podcasting is all about. The cool thing about podcasting is there's no limit. For example, when I go on the radio tonight at 7 o'clock, it's cool that I get to talk to you and connect with you, and you can call the radio station and so forth, and we can connect on social media. But on the radio, I get to talk for 12 seconds, like 5 times an hour. And, you know, only so much you can do when you're talking for 12 seconds. So, and sometimes it's even less. You know, so like these Chris Stapleton songs, and there's a couple others where we don't even get the 12 seconds. I get like 3 seconds to say something. So anyway, I'm kind of digging this podcast thing, man. I'm going to have some fun with it if people like it. If you like it, download it, subscribe it, and I'll keep doing these. If you don't like it, screw it. I'll do it like once a month just to let me get a chance to get something off my chest or whatever. But I don't know, I'm kind of digging it so far. So anyway, thanks for everybody who kind of encouraged me to do the podcast, and hope you're enjoying it so far. So let's do part 2 of my Vegas weekend, because, dude, it was one of those things that I just didn't see coming. When they asked me to go to this thing, I talked about this in my episode 1 about Vegas. When they asked me to do this, I was kind of like, first of all, surprised, because I'm kind of like the, I don't want to like sound like a sad case, but I'm like not the primetime guy. I'm on at night. You know, it's the morning show that gets to have all the perks and hang out with the artists, or, you know, or Cadillac Jack, who's our music director behind the scenes, if you don't know. Cadillac basically is the guy who does all the, you know, the record company stuff. So, you know, the night guy doesn't get these perks. I don't go on trips. I don't hang out with record labels and go to fancy dinners and hang out with the artists backstage. I'm usually out in the tailgate with you guys looking for neon t-shirts or something. I'm just not the guy that usually gets the perks. So the whole Vegas thing was really kind of new for me, and it was really cool. I had a blast doing it, and, you know, felt really fortunate to be able to do it. So anyway, I want to tell you guys more stories from Vegas as they happen. I'm pulling up my I'm stalling here because I'm pulling up my list of photos from Las Vegas. Hopefully I can, I guess, you know, I was going to say I could edit this part out as I'm looking for something, but you know what? It's a podcast. I'm going to have to learn that not everything has to be polished. Sometimes there's going to be downtime, like right now. So day two starts, and Cadillac pretty much lets me know that this is the Gino show today. There were 2 days of interviews. And day one was kind of Cadillac's day, and day two is Gino's day. Now, you have to remember, it's the first time I've ever done these for country music. You're doing a Radio Row thing. So I know a lot of our bigger artists. I know enough about them to kind of get through an interview. But here's the thing about these ACM awards. There's also a bunch of, like, the up-and-coming acts who, you've probably never heard of before. And, you know, sometimes you might get 2 minutes to Google them. Sometimes you get 20 seconds and you just kind of got to get your way through it. And I'm going to tell you a story that I haven't told on the radio and I won't tell on the radio. There's one particular artist that I interviewed that, I kid you not, dude, to this very moment, I have no idea who it was. Because the handlers would walk around with the artist, right? And they would have this clipboard. And on the back of the clipboard was the name of the artist. So generally, the handler would come up to you, like, you know, a couple minutes before the interview and say, hey, Gino, I have Chris Jansen for you. Can you take him in 2 minutes? And if you already have a guest at your booth, you say, no, could you please come back, you know, and reschedule it. Give me like 5 or 10 more minutes. And, you know, they mark it down on their pad and, you know, they schedule it out because they've got other, you know, 15 other radio stations they've got to do as well. So this particular handler, not particularly well trained. She had the clipboard with her, but she had it backwards and down on, you know, basically leaning against her leg so I couldn't see who the artist was. And she just, you know, walks up to me and says, hi, can, you know, she, first of all, she sees that I have a completely empty booth and I'm twiddling my thumbs because we had some downtime, which is rare. But she walks up and notices that there's no one there at my booth except me. So she just, you know, says, hey, would you mind taking so-and-so? And the artist was like standing right over her shoulder. And, you know, she mumbled the name of the artist. And then again, the clipboard was backwards against her leg, so I couldn't see who the artist was. And I couldn't say, no, I can't take the interview because, duh, I'm just sitting there by myself. Clearly, I'm not busy. Oh, my God, dude, it was the most awkward, uncomfortable thing ever. And I somehow got through it. And, you know, you just basically roll off with the generic questions. Oh, but I did do something brilliant at the end, and this should make me realize who it was. But near the end of the interview, I fudged it, and I said something to the effect, it's like, you know, you have a really strong social media following. For those who don't follow you yet on social media, go ahead and give them your social media handle. And that's how I was able to wrap it up. And I'm trying to think who it was now. It wasn't Morgan Wallen, but I think it was a Morgan. I think the first name was Morgan. But anyway, it's all a blank to me now. But it was just like one of the most awkward experiences. And Cadillac Jack is nowhere to be found because, as I said, like day two was kind of my day. You know, he has family and friends in Las Vegas, so he wanted to hang out by the pool for the day. And, you know, he has got his daughter there and wanted to spend some time with her. So it was Gino flying solo, and it was, oh God, one of the most awkward moments ever. By the way, I showed the picture of this artist that I didn't even know who the hell it was to Cadillac later, and even Cadillac didn't know who it was. So that made me feel a little bit better. So anyway, day two, we get rolling. Thomas Rhett was like our first one out of the gate, and Thomas was really cool. Talked to Kane Brown, which was cool because I interviewed Kane when he played the QIK guitar pull a couple of years ago. And the funny thing about the Kane Brown guitar pull thing was he was just that kid at the end of the stage that no one really knew who he was yet. He was still pretty new to the game. And, you know, now, God, he's had that number one song with Lauren Elena, and yeah, he's doing really well for himself. He's got engaged. So it was cool to catch up with Kane Brown. Met Michael Ray for the first time. Michael's done so many shows for QIK, but, you know, working the night show, as often happens, you know, he does these gigs for us at night. So, you know, I'm in the studio, so I never actually had a chance to hang out or talk to Michael, but that was cool to catch up with him. Sugarland came by. That was really cool to see them back together. Let's see who else. Randy Houser. How Country Feels is like one of my favorite songs that really got me into country music. So that was cool to chat with Randy. David Lee Murphy came by, who's got that big song right now with Kenny Chesney. He was really cool. And there's a really cool picture with him. You know, basically after you do the interviews with these artists, you know, you get a chance to get your selfie with the artist. And the one with David Lee Murphy is probably my favorite because it looks like he's interviewing me. And same thing with the Thomas Rhett one. Like, I was sitting down and Thomas was just happened to be standing up getting ready to leave. And it looks like he's coming up to me to meet me at a meet and greet, the Thomas Rhett photo. So that was funny too. So many interviews here. Oh, I got to talk to Toby Keith's daughter. I think her name is Crystal Keith. She's very new to me. But that was cool because Toby Keith, I always talk about the triangle of QIK artists that got me into country music. And Toby Keith is one of them. Brantley Gilbert's one of them, and Eric Church. Those are like my big three, and they still are my three favorites probably. So it was cool to talk to Crystal. She's got her music coming out this summer. So I think she just yesterday announced finally that you know, she's got the album coming out. She was really sweet. I asked her not just like what her favorite song by her father is, but I thought it'd be more fun to ask her, what's your least favorite song of your father's? And the funniest thing is she picked the song that pretty much I think everybody loves from Toby, and that's Red Solo Cup, because, you know, it's become kind of his anthem. But, you know, we all were just kind of talking. It's like, yeah, it kind of got overdone and it's cheesy. But, you know, in the right moment, that song still is just the perfect song. So, and then there was another first for me, Jason Aldean. I'm a big Jason fan. He's not in that trifecta that I talk about, my big three artists, but Jason's like on that second level of my favorite artists. Just because I'm more of a rock guy and I like a lot of Jason's rockier stuff, like Lights Come On, songs like that. Those are the songs I always crank up when I'm in the studio and on the air. But Jason was the coolest, man. And, you know, the cool thing about interviewing artists when you don't have like a lot of preconceived notions, when you don't have a lot of agenda, you can kind of just fly with it. I don't know how to explain this better. Let's put it this way. Like when I talked to Brantley Gilbert, I had like a million things I had to ask him because I'm a huge Brantley Gilbert fan. Jason Aldean, I like, but I don't know a lot about him. I don't really care much about his personal life, like with his wife and so forth. I know he's had drama with his ex-wives and stuff. I don't really care about all that stuff. I'm more about the music and stuff. So I like that with Jason, I can just kind of free flow it. And if something hits me at the moment, I can just go with it. And we had a great moment with Jason where one of the listeners asked about his very first performance at the Grand Ole Opry back in 2005. She showed me some pictures from a program that she had, so showing me that she really was actually there for his first Opry performance. And she wanted to know who he thought about, you know, while he was on stage on that initial performance at the Opry. So he mentioned Elvis, to which I know Cadillac's a big Elvis fan, and by this point, Cadillac had joined me for a little bit. I go, well, all right, cool. Let's hear your impression of Elvis. Let's hear Jason Aldean as Elvis. Again, not thinking, just like Darius Rucker and the Ric Flair thing, I thought for sure there's no way that Jason Aldean's going to do an Elvis impression. Sure enough, he did it. And to be honest with you, it sucked. His Elvis impression is terrible. Sounded more like Butthead from Beavis and Butthead, if you ask me. You can go listen to the clip. It's on my QIK page and so forth. But it was just cool that he did it. Jason had a great sense of humor, man, and I didn't know that would happen. Like, you know, some artists like on that level, on that Jason Aldean level, you know, they're A-listers, man. They don't have to deal with goofy, dumb disc jockey questions and requests. But he did, man. He was a good sport about it. So really dug Jason Aldean. As we go through some of the other stuff, well, there was a moment with Cam, and I've already shared this with you guys on my QIK page, and if you haven't checked this one out yet, I please ask you to do it because it was really special to me personally. Cam is not an A-lister. You know, she had the big song Burning House and so forth, and yeah, some people got angry with her because she canceled her Florida Strawberry Festival performance, but she had a good reason to. She got a chance to do American Idol, we found out during this interview. But the Cam interview for me was personally special because of my mother. I'm a mama's boy. I'm an only child. I grew up the only child to a single mother. So my mom and I were real close. And she passed almost 10 years ago now. And I'm not really a terribly emotional person. I don't cry. And I didn't really. I don't think really for much of the first year or two after my mom passed. But there have been certain moments since that kind of blindside you. And if you've lost a parent or someone special to you, you know how this works. It's like, you know, in the initial moment, you may not get emotional or something about it, but all of a sudden on an Idol Wednesday, something will blindside you and just take you out of your space. And it just hits you at the moment. And that happened for me with Cam. She does covers of Patsy Cline in her set. And she did it at the Grand Ole Opry, and it made the, you know, the country blogs, which I try to check up on, you know, as I do my research for the show every night. And when I heard Cam perform Sweet Dreams by Patsy Cline, dude, it was like not even 3 seconds in. Just that first note got me all welled up because my mom used to sing Patsy Cline songs in the kitchen back where I grew up. And man, it just hit me so hard. Like, and that's—I don't know if any other song has ever done that. And it's not even Cam's song. It's obviously it's a cover. But 3 seconds in, man, the way she just nailed that song so well, I had to tell her about the story. And by a minute or two into the interview, she and I are almost in tears together. I almost got emotional right there and then at the interview, you know, in front of all these radio stations and all these major artists walking by. Here's Cam and I hugging each other, and we're both almost crying because the song's special to her, too, because it reminds her of her grandmother who she lost. And her grandmother was a big Patsy Cline fan. So it was a real special moment. If you haven't heard the Cam interview, I ask you, please go listen to it because, again, it's just a personal favorite to me because that was such a special moment for me. And the cool thing that came out of it, and I don't know if this will ever happen, but I asked Cam, what about doing an album of Patsy Cline covers? Because she does a few of her songs, and they're so good. And apparently her grandfather has already told her to do that. And she thinks that it might happen now. You know, she thinks it's not a bad idea. I don't think the record label wants her to do it because obviously, you know, they want her to have her own hits and establish her own career. So I can't imagine the record label would be terribly excited about her doing that kind of project. But I don't know, just be something I would love to see. And I can't wait to see Cam live at some point so I can watch her do that Patsy Cline cover in person. You know who was really cool too, besides all the others I mentioned, is Granger Smith. Granger's done a couple of shows for us. He just did one here at the Stockyard not too long ago, but again, I was on the air, so I couldn't go. But he was cool, man. We chatted with Brett Eldridge. Same thing. Brett, I'd never met before, so that was cool. Blake Shelton came by, and man, Blake was as cool as I thought he'd be. You know, probably even cooler. Just like Jason Aldean, the guy's an A-lister. He doesn't have to do radio promotion. So for him to come by, I was pretty shocked. And then for him to be funny as well, as funny as he is on Twitter and in real life, that was just one of the definite highlights of the trip. And the funny thing is, there's so much noise at these Radio Row things, and we weren't wearing headphones because, like I said, we're not professional. If we were smart and we were good radio people, we would have been wearing headphones so we could, you know, hear the different audio levels and what the artists are saying. But we didn't because we're lazy. So because of that, as I'm listening back to the Blake interview for the first time, once I got back here to Tampa, I start hearing things that I didn't even hear when they actually happened. And one of them is Blake answering my question. I was kind of goofing. I said, what's more, you know, significant to you, having 25 number one songs or being named People's Most Sexiest Man Alive? And Blake at some point said, you know, I'm a sexy son bitch. The way he said it was so damn funny, but it was lost, and Cadillac, I don't think, heard it. I know I didn't hear it at the time, but you know, now that we listen back to it, you can go to the Blake interview and listen to that. And he also said something funny at the end. After we do the interviews with the artists, we have them read those little scripts, you know, those things you hear between songs, like, hey, I'm so-and-so, and you're listening to QIK. Obviously, those are all scripted, and we have like a list of them that we have the artists read after we do the interview. And Blake is, right as we're wrapping up the interview, says something to the effect, it's like, I would like to take some time right now to read some liners that you're all never going to air. And again, I don't think Cadillac caught it. I know I didn't until I heard the playback, and it was friggin' hilarious. So Blake was awesome. That was definitely a cool moment from day two. And he took pictures forever, man. Like, it was like, I got to feel like what Gwen Stefani's life is like, just with all this paparazzi, dude. We had like 15 cameras taking pictures of us when Blake was around. Dierks Bentley, super cool. I had never met him before. Same with Keith Urban. And of course, I've got like one of the greatest guitarists in the world sitting right in front of me with Keith Urban. And what does dumbass Gino ask him about? In-N-Out Burger. Because with me, it always comes back to food. But Keith confessed that after the ACMs, that's probably going to be his go-to spot, that it's right off the highway as they leave Vegas. And sure enough, it is, man. And he told me his In-N-Out Burger order when he goes through the drive-thru. A good music journalist would have asked him about guitars. I asked him about his order at drive-thru at In-N-Out Burger because that's the kind of broadcaster I am. I'm a pro. Devin Dawson was cool. Dustin Lynch, the guy with the whitest teeth in country music, another perfect example of why they should not have sent me to this thing. It's like I could ask Dustin Lynch about his number one songs or all his successes, and all I remarked about is like, damn, your teeth are as white as they are in the pictures, and they actually really are. And he had mentioned that he had just had his 6-month dental checkup, and he'd been flossing, and that he got no cavities. So I congratulated him on that. Shane Owens was cool, man. It was so many people, like random people who I would never expected to be at this thing. the guy who did that song, Crying on a Suitcase, from the reality show, what's his name? Craig Wayne Boyd. He was awesome. He came by. I'd hung out with him before when he played the Dallas Bull. He did that Charlie Daniels benefit. And the thing that always struck me about his performance that night is he actually did a cover of Achy Breaky Heart, which cracked me up. And it also surprised me how much I enjoyed it because it was really good. Toward the end of day two, Midland came by and they were as crazy and weird and funny as you would think they'd be. I mean, you see how they dress. Let's see. And then the whole thing ended on day two with probably the interview I was looking forward to the most. And that was Brantley Gilbert. Brantley, I've been a fan of since day one of my introduction to country music. Those of you who know me, who followed me on social media for a while, you know that I've not always been a country person, to say the least. In fact, if you listen to some of my old morning show clips from my morning show in California, somebody pointed out the fact that I was kind of goofing on country music on my old show because we had a country station in the building, and I'd always kind of like be able to pinpoint which listeners are country listeners when they came to pick up prizes at my old station. Dude, I had my walls up on country music. I grew up in Maine, and when I grew up, the only people who listened to country music were the old bumpkins who wore overalls and were like 60 years old. And that's how I grew up. You know, kids my age in Maine, we grew up listening to hair bands and, you know, Tone Loc and so forth and that kind of pop music. And so that's what I grew up on, man. My mom liked country music, but, you know, you just naturally don't like your parents' music. You know, you want your own beats. And so I had this like anti-country music thing right up until I got the job at QYK. And I always have to thank this guy named Mike Collada, who was the guy who ran QYK at the time. When I first got to Tampa, you may not know this about me, I wasn't a DJ. I kind of, after I did my morning show in California, I really didn't want to be on the radio anymore. I thought I hated radio. I thought I was done with it. And what I didn't realize is I just hated doing the morning show. I hated the hours. I hated how it just like completely disrupts your life. You don't get to have a life anymore. Doing a morning show is, oh God, it's awful. I hated it. And I, because of that, I thought I hated radio. And I always have to thank this guy, Mike Collada, who was our boss at QYK at the time, for being the guy to kind of get me to give it one more shot. And the funny thing is, Mike had never heard me on the air because he always knew me as this digital guy. I worked, you know, I used to run all the websites for all the radio stations in Tampa. I did their social media and so forth. I wasn't a disc jockey, so he never heard me. He knew I didn't like country music. He knew I knew nothing about country music. He knew that, that I had no desire to go back on the air, all these things. And yet he still had me, you know, give it a shot. He's like, I want you to do nights for me on QYK. And I did. And I never looked back. I love it. But anyway, my point for bringing this up is there were a few songs and a few artists that were kind of like my window into country music in terms of me saying, you know what, maybe this is for me after all. And Brantley Gilbert had a song out at the time that tanked on the charts. It just was a stinker, but I loved it. It's called Kicking in the Sticks. And the song has these really heavy guitars. It's really rednecky. You know, if you don't know the song, go Google it and take a listen to it. But Kicking in the Sticks, Brantley Gilbert. It's one of the first singles that I played on QYK. And I used to jack that son of a bitch so loud in the studio because the guitars were so good. I'm like, and it blew me away that a country song, you know, that I would enjoy it so much. And it was kind of like that gateway drug, I guess, into country music. It was that song, Kicking in the Sticks. And since, pretty much every song Brantley has put out since, I've loved. So it's weird when you interview an artist that you're actually a fan of, because it's hard, because I want to entertain you, the audience. But the other thing is, too, is like, this is my chance to talk to someone that I really like a lot. So it's always a little bit more difficult doing an interview with an artist that you like. And Brantley is definitely one of them. And, you know, I had to tell him the story about Kicking in the Sticks on how it was like, you know, pretty big song for me to get me to drop those walls of saying that I can't like country music, because, you know, I never looked back after that song. I loved it. And now I'm an Eric Church fan. I'm a Toby Keith fan. I'm a Al Dean fan. And, you know, that never would have happened, you know, without him. So I shared that story with him, and he seemed to be pretty genuinely appreciative of that. So that was kind of cool. And then I got to your questions finally. So hopefully you enjoyed that interview too. So that was it for the interviews. Again, 40 interviews in one day. I'm exhausted. but definitely had to catch the performance after. They had these little showcase performances, you know, for all the radio people who were doing those interviews. So it was like pretty much 40 or 50 people in the room, and we got to see performances by Jake Owen, Chris Jansen. And the last one was one that kind of blindsided me, and I really didn't know that it would be as enjoyable as it was. Rodney Atkins. I knew his songs. You know, we've been playing his songs ever since I started at QYK, and I like him. But, man, he was so good live. The first thing I tweeted out and a bunch of you guys reacted was, I would love to see Rodney Atkins at Guitar Pull. Really would love to see that. And if you can chime in on the QYK Facebook and agree with me on that, I'd appreciate it, because it, I don't want to say it's been fallen on deaf ears at the radio station, but I don't know if people like took it as seriously as I'd hoped they would when I suggested it when we got back to Tampa. I'd love to see Rodney at Guitar Pull. He's got some new music. He did this duet with his wife that's not going to be the single, I guess, but it was so damn good. But, you know, Rodney's awesome, and that performance was just perfect way to end out day two in Vegas. So that was that. So that was 2 days of interview after interview after interview, 80 interviews in 2 days. Dude, I was exhausted. So much. I can't even tell you how tired I was. Now, you got to remember, it's Saturday night in Las Vegas when this all ends, right? It's like 8 o'clock or whatever Vegas time. I was done. I was so tired. I just wanted to go to bed. But it's like, it's Saturday night in Las Vegas, dude. You can't go to bed at 8 o'clock on a Saturday night in Las Vegas, especially when they're putting you up at the damn MGM Grand, you know, right in the middle of everything. So I made myself, you know, stay up, and I'm so glad I did, because got invited to some Jake Owen party at this bar inside the MGM, and it was just another one of those awesome experiences. You don't get to see Jake Owen play a little bar. He's too big for that. But you get to see it at the ACMs. And I didn't realize how exclusive it was till I got downstairs and I saw the line to get into this bar that was wrapped all through the casino. And, you know, the place only fits like 100 people at the most. So, like, none of these people are going to get in. There's just no way. And lucky-ass, dumb-ass Gino got to go right to the front of the line because, you know, I was with a radio station. So I got to go in, like, right away. The thing that made me happy about it is the bar had open windows that so you could, like, see the casino, and the casino could hear what was coming from the bar. So the good thing is a lot of those people who were in line still got to see the performance. They just had to watch, you know, through the open-air windows. And Jake, and to Jake Owen's credit, he played to those people just as much as he did to the people who were in the bar. So that was a really cool touch, too. But that damn concert, dude, didn't start until freaking midnight. So, yeah, again, exhausted isn't even the word. Finally got to bed around 1 or 2 in the morning, and I just, like, was just jelly. I was done. So that was Saturday. That's the end of day two. At this point, I'm thinking all my responsibilities job-wise are done for the week. Now I can just enjoy the rest of my trip in Vegas. I wasn't going back until Monday morning. I wanted to watch the awards, but I really didn't think that I was going to get a ticket. And you know what? We'll take it. I'm just going to finish it here. Yeah, I'm going to keep doing that. I was going to save this for part three, but I'm just going to keep going. Because if you're still listening, maybe you're engaged. Most people probably turn this off after 2 minutes, but thank you for hanging with me. So I hoped I was going to get a ticket for the ACM Awards. You know, it's why we were there, but they don't provide that to us. All they provide to us is the time to do the interviews with the artists. They wanted us just to stay for the interviews and then just go home. They, you know, it's not really part of what they have us there for, is to actually go to the awards. But I'd never been to an awards show. I've been around them a lot, but I'd never actually gone into one. It was kind of a thing I wanted to kind of check off the bucket list. So started looking at ticket prices, and tickets for the ACMs were insane. Like, they were like $600 for nosebleeds, dude. And that's not within my budget for sure. So really didn't think I was going to go. Cadillac, you know, has a bunch of his record company friends and you know, just industry friends. And I just kept saying, dude, if there's one extra ticket, I would love to go. I don't care if I'm in the back row of the nosebleeds. I just kind of want to be there and check it out. And, you know, he never promised me, but he said he would do his best. And sure enough, an hour or two before the ACMs, I go to his hotel room and he gives me a ticket. And again, I'm thinking, All right, what section? Am I in section 1412? I look at the damn ticket, and I'm on the floor. Like, not sitting with the artist, but right behind that. And if you've seen my social media, you've seen the seats that I had, and I was blown away. I mean, the pictures tell more than I can tell on this podcast. But go check out the pictures and the videos I took. The cool thing I'm glad I did is I took video of walking into the awards to show you what it's like, because I was experiencing it for the first time too, and I wanted you guys to be able to experience it with me. So I started taking video as soon as I was coming down the escalator, down the hallway where you enter the awards. And I don't think I Facebook Live'd it. I think I just did video of it because I had a feeling the video would probably cut out if I did the live thing, because the Wi-Fi kind of stunk. So, but anyway, you didn't get experience as I was doing it, but you did get to experience what it was like from, to walk into the awards. Right away, I knew I was in like the seats with all the industry people and the important people, because sitting right next to me, I don't know if you watch this crappy TV show that's on the USA cable network. It's called Chrisley Knows Best. It's the dumbest show. There's no point to it. It's this really rich guy who's super effeminate. He's like a little prissy dude, but he's apparently straight. He's got a wife and kids, and I think he's in real estate or something. I don't know, but he's like this rich guy in Atlanta, and everything is based around the family little dramas, which are clearly scripted. It's the dumbest reality show. It's everything that's wrong with reality television, but for somehow I get entertained by it, and apparently a bunch of you guys did too, because you recognize these guys. But they were sitting right next to me. Todd Chrisley, Chase Chrisley, and Julie Chrisley, I think were their names. The basically the father, the wife, and the son were there. And Todd hadn't shown up yet when I got that picture. You see a picture of me with them, but Todd hadn't shown up yet. But one of the funniest moments of the ACM Awards wasn't even on stage. It was just watching Todd Chrisley, this prissy, like really super effeminate dude, rocking out to like Alan Jackson. It was really cool. So that was the ACM Awards. There's no point talking about all the ACM Awards. I said everything I had to say on social media. Go back and look at the pictures, look at the videos, look at my tweets, because my memories of it are, it's just such a blur now, because it was so much fun and all so much to remember over the course of those 3 days. But just being there for the ACM Awards was something I wasn't expecting, and I got to thank Cadillac, because there's no way it would have happened. There's no way in hell I was paying those prices to go to the ACM Awards. So after the ACM Awards, trip was almost done. I finally played a few table games, played a little blackjack, but I really didn't have time to gamble or do anything. Everything I was, the whole time I was there, it was something ACM related, either doing social media or interviews or something. So I didn't really have a lot of time to do Vegas stuff until that last night. And, by that point, it was already 10 or 11 o'clock and I'm exhausted. I actually went back to my hotel room and watched the ACM Awards West Coast feed, because as you can imagine, on the West Coast, the ACM Awards start at 8, like they do on the East Coast. The problem is, with the time difference, the awards were actually at 5 o'clock our time. So I was watching the West Coast feed of the ACM Awards. And then I finally, the next morning before my flight out, I had to do one last thing. And I asked you guys on my Facebook page to let me know which bet I should place. And since I didn't play a lot of table games, I didn't have time. I figured, you know what? I got to do some gambling. I'm in Las Vegas. And the odds of the Rays winning the World Series were like 125 to 1. So if I would have put down $10 and somehow hell froze over and the Rays won, I would have won $1,000 on a $10 bet. So that was one of my thoughts. Or you could bet on the Bucks to win the Super Bowl, which I think the odds were somewhere in like the 50 to 1 range. So a $10 bet would pay $500. Or the Lightning to win the Stanley Cup, which is not that far-fetched because you've seen how they're playing. And that's what everybody told me to do for a bet. And it makes sense because it's probably the most surefire thing and the best chances of winning. However, the payoff is obviously a lot lower because of the likelihood of them winning. But since I hadn't played a lot of table games while I was there and I was planning on gambling at least $200 or $300, put down $100 on the Tampa Bay Lightning to win the Stanley Cup. So we'll see how they do. Many of you know I grew up in Maine, so I grew up as a Boston Bruins fan. Still am. I'm not a. I still like the Bruins. I will not be unhappy if the Bruins win, but I don't know. This feels like the Stanley Cup year for the Tampa Bay Lightning, so I'm kind of all in for the Bolts. So put in $100 for the Bolts. If they end up doing it and winning the Stanley Cup, I get $550. My $100 back plus $450. So hopefully it happens. Now, if the Bruins win, I'm not going to be devastated. However, if the Bruins win and then they lose in the next round, then I'm going to be pissed. So that was the rest of my Las Vegas trip. Hope you guys enjoyed the stories. I'm really digging this podcast, man. This is kind of fun. I'm going to do this little test right now. I'm kind of curious to see how many people are actually listening this far in. Who's actually listening to me ramble this long? Is there anyone? Text me on Twitter or Facebook or whatever. Just put a comment on any one of my posts saying, I like onions. I don't care if you do it on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. But the first person who says, I like onions, that will let me know that you've been listening this whole time to me ramble. And I'm flattered by that. And if you're coming to the concert this weekend, the Beta Beach Festival, I'll try to make you my little plus one with whatever cool perks I get. So if you want to meet one of the artists, yeah, let's do that. I can't make this an official contest because I don't have any meet and greets. However, I usually get to bring a guest to, you know, all of our events. So anyway, type I like onions on my Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and I'll see what I can do. All right. Thank you for listening. If you don't follow me on social media, WQYK Gino on Twitter, WQYK Gino on Instagram, Facebook.com/GinoGino, or all the links to all of these things are on my Gino page on the QYK website, WQYK.com/GENO. All right, you guys, this has been fun. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for listening to the other 59 minutes, the Nights with Gino podcast.